You're listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM. Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good because it ain't
over. Right before I die, I gotta... Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Well, good evening. We thank you for listening to our broadcast. I would like to take a moment and invite you to our Christ in the Marketplace conference. And that's going to be this October, the month of October, on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Our theme for this year is God's end time plan for the marketplace. I really believe that God wants us to possess the top of the mountains, or the top of the mountain of business, so we can influence society, culture through the marketplace. You know, a mountain is an elevated place, and you can look at it as a platform, and a lot of ungodly businesses and corporations at the top of this mountain are using this platform to push ungodly wickedness upon our society, and they're going after our children. Their goal is to change the culture of this society from godliness to ungodliness. We might not have the platforms yet to compete with a lot of these ungodly corporations, but we do have the money that feed these ungodly corporations. You know, I did about 4 years in the military, and they had this old saying that if you hit them in the pocket where it hurts. And so we see now that conservatives and Christian people are starting to take their money and to take it elsewhere, to restrain from going to certain businesses that are pushing these worldly, ungodly agendas. These corporations are using their platforms to launch and relaunch wickedness and ungodly agendas. A mountain is an elevated place. And fighting from an elevated position, holding the high ground, offers advantages. And so I want to invite you to come out. You know, we just can't sit back and say that ministries should not talk about money, especially when the Canadian government confiscated the people money to end the protests against the government. You know, when the government can do the wrong thing and then forbid us to protest, this should be a wake-up call. And so I want to invite you to Christ in the Marketplace conference, 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock, that's Florida, and that's October the 11th, 12th, and 13th. It's going to be starting at 7:30. But we're going to fight our way up to the top of the mountain of business, the mountain of economics. And so I want to see you there. God bless.
Well, praise the Lord. Mighty men, women of God, we thank God for you, our listening audience. Thank God for Brother Danny down here at WMIE, WWBC, WJFP, all of those W's. Amen. The manager of the radio station here doing a wonderful job reaching throughout Brevard County. This is Thomas Robinson, and I have a wonderful, awesome guest. Praise the Lord. This is Kingdom Sounds, a radio broadcast ministry of Victory International Praise. And we're not going to be too long. We want to get started, but we're going to be talking about what God is saying. Praise God. Well, I'll put it this way. We're going to, we got a Christ in the Marketplace Summit coming up. And we're going to be gathering, and I'm going to give you more information about that at the end of the broadcast. We're going to go ahead and let the man of God get started. Amen. And I want you to, share. And those that are listening in, share, tell some people Praise God that we're on and we're going to be talking about Christ in the marketplace. You know, I was just sharing with someone out front there that it's very important, praise God, to empower your people with this type of knowledge, with this type of understanding, to get your people activated, because what it does, it empowers your ministry, oh glory to God, even financially. And you know, a lot of times people don't want to think. I think you might have taught it one day about money being spiritual. Praise God. And I won't go all into that, but the Bible does say, give and it shall be given. Come on, giving, it calls a reaction. It causes something to happen. Come on, it causes the windows of heaven to open up, and you it causes you to be a blessing to be released unto you. And so we want you to inform your people about this summit that's coming up, and you know, we'll reach out to you, but we'll give you some information that you can reach out to us also. How you doing, man of God?
I'm doing well, sir. I'm just listening to you, enjoying what you're saying.
Amen, amen.
Thank you for this opportunity to be on radio with you today, and hopefully encourage some people.
Amen.
On the things of God, and that God is not against wealth, God is for wealth.
Amen.
And it's the devil that's against us prospering. God has never been against anybody in the kingdom of God prospering. I don't know where that came from. I don't know what Bible they plucked that out of. But it's not the will of God. It is not the way of God for us to not prosper in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is all about prosperity.
Amen. Well, quick shout out to our wives, and just to say that, you know, sometimes we're dealing with religious spirits, and the religious spirit will try to keep you from what God has for you. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Go ahead, man of God.
You know, one of the things that I think the body of Christ, and I guess if I could say pastors or leaders, it takes money to fulfill the vision.
That's right.
You can't fulfill the vision without any finances. And so God has given us the opportunities. And one of the first things he said to us when he created us, and God blessed him and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue and have dominion. If he was against the blessing, why would he put a blessing on us to be blessed? And so therefore, we need to understand that it's about him. If we keep the blessing about him, then we don't get in trouble. When we keep the blessing about us, then that's when we get in trouble. Always remember, God is the head of all things. No matter what you're doing, if you keep God in, you're going to be right. But if you take God out, you're going to be wrong. And one of the things now is we learning more about the kingdom of God from the time we came up in church. I've been in church all my life, and most of the time we just knew about tithes and offerings. But nobody never introduced the business side of the kingdom.
Right.
But the people in the Bible were business people.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you look at Cain and Abel, they both had businesses, you know, and then they brought offerings to the Lord. Well, they had businesses to bring offerings to the Lord to what? Empower what he wanted them to do. And so that hasn't changed because we in 2023. It's still the same thing. And I was meditating the other day, and just a thought came to me, and the Lord asked me, he said, who was the first business owner? Well, you know, you saw us trying to think. Well, you know, Abraham came from a family that had business and cattle and things and that. So, but he said, no, keep going back. And then he took me to Cain and Abel. You know, one was to keep up the sheep. One kept sheep, and one did
agriculture,
and then one was a farmer. So he brought, you know, lamb and stuff like that. So they both had their parts of business. But he says, no, let's keep going back. He says, remember, I created a garden, and I gave it to a man for a business. I said, wait a minute, hold on. He said, look what I did. He said, I planted a garden in the east of Eden, and I gave it to Adam, and I told him to dress it and keep it. Work it. Produce it. And so
that's a good picture of working God's business. You know, even Jesus said at the age of 12, I must be about my Father's business.
Amen. Amen. And so from the get-go, God's always been a business-minded man.
Yes.
And that's something.
That's good.
And all he told him to do was have the responsibility. I'm taking care of his business. Uh-huh. Well, we still have the responsibility of taking care of his business.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
And so, you know, as we get in this thing and we start thinking about it, and of course, he lost it because he didn't take care of the business. He didn't keep God first. He started taking it on his own, and he lost the business.
That's good.
Not only did he lose the business, he lost out with God till God had to put him out.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the business aspect never changed because man failed.
Yeah.
It was always there.
That's good.
So then we see Adam, two sons, then after a process of time, that means over a protracted period of time, we see Cain and Abel coming, but they're both now in business.
That's good.
One has animals, one has vegetation or whatever, you know. And so, but at the end of the day, they had to bring something to God.
Right, right.
One did bring and one didn't bring. So one had his business towards God, towards the church. The other had his business towards him and himself.
Hmm.
And so even in the beginning, you can see God was still about business.
Right.
He hasn't changed. Men and women of God, he hasn't changed. You have to find out there is a business on the inside of you. You just need to give birth to it.
That's right. That's right. And speaking of that, because we're going to be praying for people and activating people. So we definitely want to encourage you to come. Can I say something? This is not about getting money from you. It's about getting money to you. Oh, glory to God. We had a young man that came to our church and out of prison, and my son showed him how to, you know, get his paperwork together and get licensed with the state. And make a long story short, it wasn't too long that he came to me and he said, you know, Pastor, I'm making $5,000 a week. Oh, praise the Lord. So it's to empower your people to activate, to wake up what's in your people. Go ahead, Apostle.
No, that's good because, and that's what it's all about. You know, I've been ministering at the church that the kingdom of God is all about advancement and empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we go through advancement and empowerment is through learning how to produce better results for the kingdom of God. There's scripture here, you know, and I always like to go back to the beginning. Then you see God's pattern and you follow the pattern of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So if God was not against Adam having a business and God was not against Cain and Abel having a business, if God was not against Abraham having a business, then of course he's not against us having a business. And that's what we need to understand, that God is a businessman. I taught a sermon a while back, God the Investor.
Mm-hmm.
See, God's an investor. He invested. Think about this. God invested Christ in us.
Mm.
Why? The Bible said he became the first fruit of many. Many. So that means there's some dividends behind him becoming the first fruit of many.
Mm.
So God sold Christ into us to get dividends.
Wow.
You know, he deposited the anointing,
you better stop,
on the inside of us to get dividends. Amen. And see, we only saw it on the church side. No, but there's a business side to God, that he deposited Christ anointing in us so we can do business for him.
Mm.
And what are some of the dividends? Signs, wonders, miracles. What are some of the dividends? The fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, temperance, meekness, faith. Wow. So this is some of the stuff we are supposed to be reproducing.
Good.
As the business of God. Your whole body is the business of God. How you take care of the business of God. Are you prospering? Are you a consumer? Or are you a reproducer?
Hmm.
Or you just consume the word every Sunday and never produce nothing out of it? That's like getting money and all you do is spend your money down to the store. No, you come to church, get a deposit, because God is looking for a return.
That's good.
That's what he's looking for. He has to change that. So in the natural, so in the spirit. And so we take that same premise and we bring it over to the realm of finances.
That's so good, Apostle. I'm sitting here, and while you were saying that, I was thinking that, you know, a lot of times, because we haven't taught our people, it's left a void. And what I mean by a void, a vacuum void, however you want, because, you know, speaking and talking about the mountain of influence, how the seven mountains of influence, one of them being business, and one of them being business and economics, Praise the Lord. A lot of us in the body of Christ, because we haven't taught these type of things and showed them Christ is God is business minded in the Bible. Praise God. We have our people have not climbed that mountain, and they don't have a desire to be on the top of that mountain.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Well, you know, people can only have faith for what they have revelation on.
Wow. That's good.
And so if they don't have a revelation on it, they can't have faith for it.
Mm.
And a lot of times, because pastors have been taught over the years that church and business doesn't mix, or, you know, which I don't know, that's sort of crazy if you ask me, because if that
Christ
was so,
and no more. Christ and no more.
Yeah. If that was so, why would he put tithes in the Bible?
Good.
If that was so, why would he put tithes? And one of the things the Lord showed me Sunday, he says, we're looking at tithes and offerings wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He said tithes and offerings are investment into the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. You're never losing when you pay your tithes and when you sow your offerings. There's always a return. Remember, God set this system up. Man didn't set this system up. Ladies and gentlemen, God set this system up. He said, give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shake together. He said that. Not man. Man didn't say that. God said that. So why are people having a problem with what God said?
You know, what you're saying is so powerful. As you were even talking, I was sitting here thinking about how when Jacob or Israel and his family was leaving Bethel and going to Ephraim. Bethel means house of God, house of bread. Ephraim means fruitful. And the Bible says there was just a little ways to go, and she died. And a lot of times we come into the house of God, the household of God, and then we don't teach the people. You were saying, you know, faith, about talking about faith. Faith comes by hearing. It's important that people hear these type of things so that they can go on and be fruitful. But they end up dying little. The Bible says there was a little ways to go, and she died. She died in a state of being little.
Wow.
A lot of times our people are dying in a state of being little. Come on, the graveyard is full of people that have died with their purpose and destiny unfulfilled.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
And we are responsible for those people.
My God.
If they're in our church, we are responsible for activating their talent and their abilities. And a lot of times we abuse them just in the church, so that they'll never be valuable to the world, because we don't know how to get them to take what they're using in the world in the church to utilize it and go out in the world and be a blessing and to ministry to the marketplace and allow people to see God in that area in their lives. Because God has people everywhere to shine the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what happens is, because of a lack of knowledge, our people perish. You know what I'm saying? But the Bible says, happy is the man that keepeth the vision.
Yeah.
You know, and without a vision, the people perish. Well, people need to have a vision about business.
My God.
You know, and men of God, women of God, your church is a business. The IRS say your church is a business. So you learn these business principles, then you train, you get some businessmen. It's amazing how God put businessmen around him. Jesus put businessmen around him when he started his ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
They were 12 businessmen. Yeah. You go back and look at every one of them, they were 12 businessmen.
Yeah.
He never told them to quit their business when they joined him.
My God.
So he'd never say, okay, well, since you're now part of the kingdom of God, you cannot have a business. No, matter of fact, he increased their business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. He increased their business. So people, I don't understand. You think, remember when the Bible said that Jesus used Peter's boat to preach?
Yeah.
And then after he preached, he asked Peter, have you caught anything? He said, man, we've been out here all night. We ain't caught nothing. He says, you ain't caught nothing? He said, I tell you what, let me give you some business knowledge. Launch out in the deep. Go a little farther than you've been before, because I'm going to show you more, and then make a right turn, and then drop it.
My God.
Well, he did that. He went out a little farther, made that right turn, because the Lord said, I'm the Lord that God will teach you how to profit and lead you in the way you should go. He did that to Peter. He told him how to go and how to profit. So Peter went, he dropped that net on the right side, and Bob said the net was so full, it almost broke.
And then the Bible said he brought it in. The Bible said he had so much, he had to watch this, call his investment partners. I don't want y'all to miss out on this blessing. I want all of y'all to come in and tap into the resources that God just gave me because he borrowed my boat. So all his partners came in, and they had enough for Peter, and they had enough for all his partners. And Peter said, Lord, forgive me for not seeing this. I missed this. I'm an undone man. He started repenting because he lost sight of the business side of what God was trying to do. He said, listen, I'm here to increase you. I'm not here to take from you. And the Bible says they had so much fish that the boat almost began to sink. Man, that's a lot of fish.
You said something at the end there. You said, we're here to increase you, not to take from you. Oh, glory to God. We don't want your members. Oh, glory to God. We want to invest in them. We want to put something in them, awaken them to their purpose that God has for them. Oh, glory to God. Go ahead, man of God.
Isn't that amazing? But that's good. He did it one time. But then remember after his death, burial, resurrection, mm-hmm. he was on the water, and the Bible said that he was there and he was looking at them, and they was out there fishing,
mm-hmm.
and then the Bible said he made a little fire and he was making breakfast,
yeah,
and they just see coming down, and they were still hadn't caught no more fish. He directed them again. Okay, let me help you again. You didn't get it the first time. Maybe get it the second time. And the Bible said they caught 154 large fish. He happened twice in his business. So if God was against business and didn't want you to prosper, why would he tell Peter where to get the money? Where to get the substance to get the money?
My God.
It don't make sense. And this is in the New Testament. It's not in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. God helped his business twice so it wouldn't fail.
I'm sure you could show us some stuff in the Old Testament too.
So ladies and gentlemen, it's so good that we see how God operates. So men and women of God, our job is to help you to get your people in power. You got a vision. That vision has to be funded by money. Mm-hmm. It's not going to move unless you have the resources to move. And some of your businesses are circulating because your people are not being advanced in the financial area to support your vision. Now, we're not against tithes and offers, but there's more.
Mm-hmm.
There's more to add to tithes and offers.
Right.
That's all we said. But if we can increase their tithes and offers, then that means you're going to be taken care of, your church going to be taken care of,
right.
your staff going to be taken care
right.
of, and then you can do the things that you need to do and not worry about if you're going to have to pay your bills
right.
During the month. So all our job is doing, we're trying to help your people, and you see that God is behind the business anointing on the Church of Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes. My God, this is good. I tell you what, I'm really enjoying this, because a lot of times, man of God, when we look in the Bible, we see that the landowner that kept going and hiring people, the Bible says that he asked the question to the folks that were at the last hour. He says, why are you standing around in the marketplace? And they answered, well, we're waiting on somebody to hire us. And a lot of times, he said, come and work for me. It kind of puts me in mind when you were talking earlier about Adam working for God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that, hey, I can look at it this way. Anything that God's give me, I give it back to him. So I'm working for God. God put me in business. Praise the Lord. I gave it back to him. And as far as I'm concerned, he's the business owner. You preached a powerful message the last time when we had this Christ in the Marketplace conference. You preached about make the Holy Ghost your business partner. Oh, glory to God. I ain't never forgot that. That's a powerful message. I had already done it, but you put it in the words that it needs to be put in. Go ahead, man of God.
The Holy Spirit is here to help us to accomplish
mm-hmm.
The plans of God. The Bible sent him here as a comforter. He has seven things he does for us. And a lot of times we don't ask him for the help that he can offer us,
mm-hmm.
Because again, he sees, he knows, he understands everything about us. He's always in the Alex in the conference room of God when Jesus and the Father is talking,
mm-hmm.
so he gets the download. Then he comes back to earth, because the Bible says over in John that he is the spirit of truth, and then they'll reveal to him, and then he will reveal it to us. So what he's going to reveal to us, how to help us with our business, what things we need to do, what things we don't need to do. So when you incorporate him, you know, we look at him, the Holy Spirit, to do, you know, we can feel him, we can touch him, but no, he gives information.
That's good.
The Holy Spirit gives information. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, he will help you, he will show you, he will guide you in how to be a good and prosperous businessman and businesswoman. And one of the things that I'll tell you, here's a case in point. Of course, you know, I'm working on my second restaurant in Orlando.
Right.
And then, you know, I got a loan, and then the Holy Spirit says, don't get no more loans. I said, huh? He says, why? Watch this. He says, why pay them when you can pay others?
Mm.
I'm going like, what you mean? He says, I want you to find some investors. Instead of paying the interest to the world, pay the interest to the kingdom.
My God, that's good.
He said, find some investors. And it's amazing because I wasn't into that. I wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. tuned mm-hmm. into that. And he opened me up to that. And then one of my pastor friends called me. He says, Dr. Lord. I said, yes, sir. What's up? He said, I got a question to ask you. I said, man, what's up? He said, look, I know you opened a new restaurant down in Orlando. He said, have you ever thought about investors? Now, I ain't talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
This is after God talked to me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no. He said, but listen, the Lord been talking to me about investing in Orlando.
Hmm. Wow.
This is after God talked to me, wow. before God talked to me, about getting investors. God had already had talking to them.
And so, wow.
So he called, and he was the first investor. And since then, I have one more that's going to come on today. And we're looking for him to put in $150,000. And that will seal the deal.
Lord.
But then we give them a percentage.
Right.
So I'm becoming the bank.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's powerful. I tell you what, we're going to come right back to that for the Tuesday broadcast. So we want you to tune in. Make sure you share. Make sure you let people know that we are prepping and getting ready for our Christ in the Marketplace conference. That's going to be October the 11th, 12th, and 13th. You don't want to miss it. You want to, you pastors, you want to get your people there. Praise the Lord so that they can be empowered and activated. Praise God and find out their purpose and impact the marketplace. And so we thank God for listening. That's October the 11th, 12th, and 13th, 250 North Babcock, 7:30, 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. Going to start at 7:30. Praise the Lord. So we will see you tomorrow. And I believe that Brother Danny has a commercial, some commercial information about the conference. So God bless you. See you tomorrow.
Well, good evening. We thank you for listening to our broadcast. I would like to take a moment and invite you to our Christ in the Marketplace conference. And that's going to be this October, the month of October, on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Our theme for this year is God's end time plan for the marketplace. I really believe that God wants us to possess the top of the mountains, or the top of the mountain of business, so we can influence society, culture through the marketplace. You know, a mountain is an elevated place, and you can look at it as a platform, and a lot of ungodly businesses and corporations at the top of this mountain are using this platform to push ungodly wickedness upon our society, and they're going after our children. Their goal is to change the culture of this society from godliness to ungodliness. We might not have the platforms yet to compete with a lot of these ungodly corporations, but we do have the money that feed these ungodly corporations. You know, I did about